You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
On the ground, face down, do it now.
I'm security for the Allies.
Yeah, and I'm the governor of Louisiana. Now get your ass on the ground, do it.
There's a guy I don't know wearing a Chris Crespo shirt.
Chris Crespo radio show. Everybody likes it.
Listen to his shit.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
First, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
Well, we might as well have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Guys, welcome to episode 209 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, Orlando's number one film critic. You're listening to Florida's number one movie podcast. If you can think of a better movie podcast from Florida, go fuck yourself. That's what we always say. Your current threat update. Here we go. Threat update for right now. The current threat level is moccasin. Your mistakes have been rescinded. Oh, that's good to know, actually.
Nice.
That's
awesome.
Nice. As always, is the co-host, Rooster Cogburn.
What up, dude?
How you doing, dude?
Hey, man. Apparently, my sins have been rescinded. So, you know, I'm doing a lot better.
You're Catholic, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I could just do the whole, you know, dear Lord, forgive me on my deathbed thing, and apparently that works.
Nah.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. There's that old purgatory indulgences thing. What is this? This isn't catechism class. This is Cinema Crespediso. Catechism Crespediso. Welcome to our movie podcast. We're here to have a good time. It's the second episode of 2017, and we have a very special guest here. Looking forward to talking to this gentleman very much. He is a working actor, successful actor. He's leaving here in a couple of days to go back to work already. And we're looking forward to talking about some of the things he's done, some things he's going to do, as well as other stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, Brett Rice is here.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming out. We appreciate it.
Not a problem at all. I just love the view out here. Let's see the airport.
Yeah.
Things, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's not too bad actually. If you stand on the road at the right spot, you can see I-4 from here.
So yes, it's right. Like, that's right.
And it just reminds you, oh, there's a whole world out there of people doing stuff, and here we are.
And you're doing stuff.
We're trying to anyway, in our own way. Before we get started with anything else, Brett, one question I have to ask you immediately.
Okay.
What was it like getting beat up by Wesley Snipes?
It hurt. Actually, it's a funny story. I had a great stunt guy, Lex Gettings was my stunt man on the movie, and he did all the falls and the major stuff. But at one point, Wes and I did have that fight scene in the stairwell, and
yes,
he hit through a few punches, and he's black belt karate or whatever.
Yeah, he does his own thing, yeah.
It's amazing. But he said, all right, I'm going to do this, hit you three times, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when a guy is that good,
fast,
you don't move.
Right, right.
And when he threw that third punch, mm-hmm, and it caught me because I leaned.
Oh.
And he caught me right in the chin, and I just, I was seeing stars.
No wonder the acting was so good in that scene.
Exactly. That's right. That was realism. That's right there.
Oh, my goodness. I was rewatching that scene, because I'm a huge Wesley Snipes fan. I grew up watching 80s and 90s action movies. Like, there's a part where he backfists your face, and then he throws you into the wall. That's all you, right? The stuntman doesn't come in until he throws you over the rail.
But now, in movies, they'll have the actor go through in slow motion the actual work.
Sure, yeah.
And yes, I threw myself into the wall, but I threw myself with him holding.
Okay, yeah.
But they do the scene with the stuntman doing the whole work.
Oh, okay.
And that's when it gets wild.
Yeah.
The guy's getting beaten up, he's getting hit, he's thrown into the wall.
You see the impact.
He bounces off and he goes over the stairwell.
Right.
Well, we shot that at Sanford Airport years ago.
Oh, really? Okay.
And they have a tiny little tower.
Yeah.
And the stairs go straight up in little tiny steps, you know.
Like on a boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the stairwell, it has a little wall about 3 feet high.
Okay.
And he takes him, throws me into the wall.
Yeah.
And then he throws me over the stairwell, down the stairs.
Yeah.
Well, I'd never seen the stairs.
Oh, no.
So I stop as I get to the wall, or to the ledge, and cut.
Get out of here.
Yep. Lex, come on in here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Lex, my God bless him, this guy is amazing. He takes him from the wall and throws him, and Lex just jumps.
Just went for it.
And just down the stairs.
Oh, my goodness. Out of the bottom.
And I hear this.
Oh, no.
And cut. That was beautiful. Can we do it again? And Lex comes hobbling up the stairs. Apparently, he had cracked something in his ankle.
Oh, man.
And he goes, nope, got this. It's all good. He did it again.
Wow. Oh, man.
He's done a whole bunch of stunts for me over the years.
That's the life of a stuntman right there.
Seriously.
I'm going to throw myself down some stairs, get hurt on the first take.
With a smile on my face.
He did a movie, Black Knight, up in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And got kicked by that horse.
Is that the one with the Martin Lawrence movie?
Yeah, that's the one.
And he got kicked by a horse?
He got kicked by that big black horse.
That is dedication.
That'll put you down.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
And it did.
Yeah. Oh, man. Shout out to Lex. Good for you, Lex. He's still doing the stunts, Lex?
Yeah, he's up in somewhere in Louisiana. He's got he's crewing his own gang up in Baton Rouge, I believe.
That's the goal, right? For stuntman, you eventually lead your own team, you train
stunt
people.
Stunt coordinator.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure you can't take those hits for your whole life.
No. And who would want to?
Yeah, right? At a certain point, you want to think about moving up the ladder.
I don't know. Some of those pro wrestlers, they seem like they enjoy it.
Yeah, do they?
They keep coming back.
We'll talk to our resident pro wrestler about that, Simon Time. I'm sure he's going to be ready to call it quits or move into the managerial aspect eventually. Man, that's awesome. Yeah, I rewatched that clip. I was like, there he is, Brett Rice, getting his ass beat by Wesley Snipes.
I got my ass beat a lot.
Yeah. But it's so awesome because I've become aware of you, Brett Rice, via the Monsters in the Morning, right?
You mean Russ,
hanging out with those guys, hanging out with Jimmy. They talk about you a bunch. Like, oh, this guy lives in Central Florida. That's very interesting. So then from that point forward, that was right around when Super 8 came out too.
That's right.
From that point forward, I was like, every time this guy pops up, I was like, it's that guy. It's Brett Rice. It's Brett Rice. That's amazing.
Well, actually, I met Jimmy. I think I just finished shooting Footloose, the sequel.
Okay, yeah.
And I called, somehow I got in touch with the Monster. I've been listening to them for years.
Sure.
And got hold of Jimmy, and he's a golfer.
Yes.
So am I.
Yeah.
So we got together to play golf. He said, let you come and do an interview, and we got in, had a wonderful time.
Very cool.
But, Jimmy is my friend Brett Rice, the actor. And I'm going, yeah, I am.
Yes.
His friend, and yes, I am an actor, so it's all good.
Not even an actor, the actor.
The actor.
And we go play golf. Yeah, the actor.
That is awesome. That's very cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with
You're welcome.
Little old us. We're not as big as the Monsters, but
no.
This show is a spinoff of a nighttime show from that very same radio station.
Yes, it is.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so it's a small world, small town. That's how that goes. But all right, let's get started. Brett, we have a lot to do on this show. We have a lot of different intros and segments, and we're going to start with it used to be the Netflix pick of the week, but now it's the streaming pick of the week. And I had a theme song for that, forgot to load it up, so I'm going to play the old one. Here we go. And you can go ahead and reach in there, reach a movie.
We got what you see. Movies on fleek. Netflix, it's the pick of the week. Netflix, it's the pick of the week. Netflix, it's the pick of the week.
It says Netflix, but it's a streaming pick of the week.
You have to change that.
I totally did change it, Drew, but then I forgot to load it into the board.
Yes.
So maybe next week we'll get to hear it. But Brett pulled it, and he looks very excited by this pick. I can't wait to hear him say what it is. Once he announces it, he'll give it to Drew, and Drew will let us know where it's available. But Brett, what is this week's streaming pick of the week?
On Amazon.
On Amazon.
The Lobster.
Hey,
nice.
My goodness, yes. Go ahead and, you got that. You'll look it up.
Else it is.
So Drew's going to look it up on canistream.it to see where else it's available. But The Lobster, available on Amazon Prime. That is a messed up movie.
It's available at all seafood restaurants.
Yeah. I don't want that lobster.
Yep, Amazon Prime. It's also on Google Play, the Apple Store.
For rent.
Streaming off of Sony Entertainment's, whatever streaming service they have.
Their own thing. Yeah. So Amazon Prime is the main way to watch The Lobster. Did you get a chance to see it this year?
Oh, The Lobster.
Yeah.
No.
I
haven't seen that.
It'll leave an impression on you.
It's a weird one.
Yeah.
Did you both see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. We both saw it. Enjoyed it, for sure. It does have one of those, as we like to call, European style endings, where it's very ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
It's a did he or did he not type ending, where it's like either answer is actually okay.
Yeah, I mean,
it really doesn't matter when you watch the movie. It's one of those things.
Well, you know, when I see something called The Lobster, it just seems to remind me of the old guerrilla movies. And, I can't think of any name, but any like sci-fi movie,
like a big monster movie,
yeah, like a monster movie that's made in. For like $50,
like the Beast with a Thousand Backs,
that's
or,
exactly,
yeah.
They put on a lobster suit and they run around somewhere. And
I would love to see a giant B movie lobster horror movie. This is a horror movie, but in a much different way.
Oh yeah,
in which Colin Farrell, it's some sort of weird dystopian future, sort of future. Mm-hmm. Colin Farrell plays a gentleman who is in a world where if you are single and if you're a single adult for any extended period of time. You have to go to a hotel, a specific hotel. The singles hotel. And at that hotel, you have 45 days to find a mate amongst the other singles. If you do not, you get turned into an animal of your choice.
I did hear about that. I did read about that. I just didn't see it.
Because it's such a weird concept. How does that,
it is.
And it did play in theaters, but it's like a limited release. Maybe like 1,000 screens. So it played in one theater here in Orlando.
Well, what did you think of it?
I liked it quite a bit. It's a very solid movie. It's very well made. The first half, and this seems to be a consensus, the first half of the movie is more entertaining and faster paced than the second half of the movie. There's a definite part in the movie where it kind of changes gears a bit. Great cast: Colin Farrell, John C. Reilly, Rachel Weisz.
Wow.
Yeah, and was there someone else I want to say? Ben Whishaw, the English, young English gentleman, Ben Whishaw.
Well, maybe then I will have to take a look at it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. And as we said, it's on Amazon Prime. I wrote that down. That's the streaming pick of the week. Drew and I both recommend it. When that came out, like what, during the summer? Earlier than that, in the spring.
It came out the 16th of October, 2015.
Oh my goodness. So if you want to see our review of that, go to Google Chris Crespo, The Lobster.
It probably didn't come out here until like the beginning of last year.
Yeah, it took a while because of paid festivals and stuff. Like, that's one of those things. All right, that was your streaming pick of the week. Very good. Time to get into the box office review, where we talk about the top five box office movies of the weekend, which means we talk about those numbers. Drew Sikagwa, number five, please take it away.
Number five this week, La La Land made an additional $10 million, total of 51.6 on a budget of 30.
Are you a fan of musicals, Brett?
I am. I am. I just haven't been able to go see La La Land yet. Mm-hmm. And I love Ryan Gosling as an actor. He's pretty fantastic. He's really grown on me. He's
pretty fantastic in it. He and Emma Stone.
Oh, Emma. Wow.
Great chemistry.
Yeah, but they've got it, whatever that chemistry thing is between actors, they've got it.
It is their second movie together, and very
good. I got to work with Ryan a long time ago, Remember the Titans.
That's right.
It was the first time I got to meet him, and he'd sit outside after night, you know, nightfall, and play his guitar and sing some songs.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a regular guy. Just sounds
like,
man.
Sounds like a cool dude.
Yes, he is.
And now he's doing a lot of... around the Remember the Titans days, if you had told me Ryan Gosling's going to be in movies where he's like tough guys and like Drive and stuff like that, I'd be like, I don't think so. He's a Disney guy. He would never get that way. But now I'm like totally into it. Like, he can be a tough guy if he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But he also does the sensitive thing. And in La La Land, he's very much like the tortured artist mode. You know, do I choose between love and art and that kind of... And it's good. It's a really good movie.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I am not the biggest fan of musicals, but I pretty much love the movie. I like it very, very much. Drew, not a fan of musicals, not into the movie at all.
Well, and this just kind of solidified that for me. You know, I liked all the acting in the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, the music was fine. It's just...
it's a good story.
Musicals just don't do it for me, man.
I gotta ask you a question.
Yes.
Okay, between the two, Rocky Horror, original, or the sequel, or the remake?
Oh, the TV? I would have to go the original.
Yes, me too. My gosh.
100%.
Just for the inclusion of Tim Curry alone.
I mean, that's really what does the movie for me. Because, once again, not really into musicals, mm-hmm. but Tim Curry in that movie, really, he's off the chain.
And it feels like also when they made original Rocky Horror, they knew they were going over the top, but I don't feel like they were going for intentionally campy. It just turned out that way and it became a fun thing. But then like the remake of it or anything that's homaging to it, they're going for the intentional Rocky Horror campiness.
They it was too clean. It wasn't
that too
nasty.
Yes. It's like wasn't like NBC at 8 in the evening?
Yeah.
Rocky Horror is not supposed to be sanitized for family. That's insane. That's a really crazy thing to do. But hey, you know, execs get those dollar signs in their eyes. Like, what can we monetize? What can we turn into?
Oh, yeah.
And those live those live musical productions have been popular the last
few
years.
They have been.
Yeah.
What was the last one?
They did Peter Pan a couple years ago.
Yeah, but just recently they did Hairspray.
Hairspray. Correct. Yes.
And that a good friend from here did the Broadway Hairspray.
Oh, yeah?
And then who's the main actor now that did the... He did it originally on Broadway. Peter or Paul Vogt took over in New York.
Okay.
And played a part in the live version here, but... oh gosh, I can't think of the actor's name. He's got that great growly deep. I can't think of him. Anyway,
you start talking like that. I want to say what's his name? Peter Gammon, the guy who was the coach in Major League. I'm pretty sure that guy's dead though, and he wasn't a musical guy.
He got that voice. It's just really.
Oh man,
he made the makeup and the wig for Robin Williams and Mrs. Doubtfire.
Larry? No. The Italian fellow.
Yeah, he looks Italian.
He does look Italian. Oh, my goodness.
But he's just always like this. Yes. Oh, my God.
And he's always talking.
He's got that voice.
Was he in the... I want to say he was also in the Birdcage. Man.
Might have been.
I can't think of his name. I should know his name, too. I know exactly who you're talking about.
That's all right. Anyway, he was the lead character in Hairspray, the live version.
On the Broadway version.
Yes.
But man, that's no small gig.
No.
That's no small gig whatsoever. Well, if you like musicals at all, La La Land for sure. And like Ryan Gosling, he'll impress you.
Yeah. Well, he's always impressed me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So La La Land, number five, good for them. Number four.
Number four, Underworld, Blood Wars.
Okay.
Weekend gross of $13.1 million, Sam's total budget of $35.
$35 million budget? Okay, yeah, for a budget like that, $13 million opening weekend, I'll probably make $40 million here at the States. Another 60, 70 international, maybe 150 total worldwide. That's why they keep making these Underworld movies.
Yes, they do.
Which is like, this is the fifth one?
Yes.
I've only seen the first one.
Actually, four, and it's already made $42 million, so we're at 55 worldwide.
Worldwide?
No.
Have you seen any of them, Drew?
I vaguely remember the first one. I've seen them all.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think if I remember them.
You've seen them all?
Yeah. Because the first one was just, you know, vampires versus werewolves.
No, excuse me. Lichens.
Whatever. the second one, like, there was some weird, crazy, evil vampire at the end that they chopped up in Helicopter Blade. And that's the only reason why I remember that, because it was,
you know, a
monster getting chopped up in Helicopter
Blade.
That was
sure.
cool.
Yeah.
The third one, like, had something to do, like, all of a sudden they were, like, back in time or something.
Okay.
There was another one where, like, they had to save some guy because he was, like, a hybrid.
These all sound like they could be the same movie.
They really all could be.
Like, it spread over five movies. It could have been one movie.
Uh-huh.
Probably 60 minutes long.
Four of them had Kate Beckinsale. One of them had Kate Beckinsale Light.
Rona Mitra.
Uh-huh.
I know that for a fact. I know who it was. I never saw it.
So,
I saw the first one and it bored the heck out of me. Never went back to any of them.
I mean, it's not... I mean... I saw the first one in theaters. The rest of them I've caught on
HBO.
You saw
it in theaters.
The first one in theaters.
In theaters.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to go see this.
Yeah.
Man, not me. It's someone,
yeah, dude.
Someone sat me down. I was like, you'll like this. And I was like.
You throw Kate Beckinsale in an outfit like that, and I will watch it.
Sure. Okay, fair
enough.
Have you ever seen any of these movies, Brett?
No, Underworld, no, I have not.
Yeah.
They're not good, don't
very,
worry.
Very specific mode of movie these.
I very rarely get out to see the movies nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, in the last 10 or 15 years.
Well, you're busy making them.
Well, I'm busy making them, but, you know, as a SAG actor, when awards time comes around, they send them all to us.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Sure, we're on screeners.
The screeners, yeah.
And they are not going to send you Academy screeners for any of the Underworld movies, that's for sure.
No. That's why I saw Manchester by the Sea.
There you go.
They sent it to me.
Man, that guy. I gotta get into some sort of guild somehow. Yeah. Gotta pick one. This is, no, Billy's on it. Is
if it's not Rocky lady or Star Wars, no. I'm sorry.
I was just watching Rocky today, as a matter of fact. I love Rocky so much. All right, well, good for Underworld. They keep cranking them out. They keep making them. I mean, goodness gracious. That was number four. What's number three?
Number three this week,
yes.
Sing. Weekend gross of $19.5 million, total of $213.
Wow.
Budget is 75.
213 already?
Mm-hmm.
It's only been out for like, what, 3 weeks, maybe four?
Yeah, this is the third week.
Third week, 213. Great for them. That's why they make these movies.
Yeah, plus four in that 143. That's 356 worldwide box office.
Wow.
They just keep on and keep going.
Yeah, that is impressive. Expect Sing 2 in 2018.
Yeah.
For sure. It's coming, America. You paid for it.
You requested it.
Yeah, apparently. With your dollars. That's how it works. Let's move on to number two.
Number two this week, Hidden Figures. Had a weekend gross of $21.8 million. Total of 24. Probably had a Wednesday open.
Yeah, and
on a budget of 25.
And the Friday estimates, actually on Friday, it was number one movie on Friday. So it was a chance, almost a chance it would have been the number one movie of the weekend. And Hidden Figures, man, like I said to you guys off mic, I tried to see this one today, but I had to get called in to babysit my mom's Bichon Frise for a few hours.
And you know, well, Chris, these being estimates, it might actually end up being the number one movie.
That's possible.
There's only a difference of about $100,000 here.
That is very possible that when the actual numbers come out on Monday, they flip and Hidden Figures is the number one movie of the weekend, which is good for them. I really want to see it, though. It is... Another one of those Kevin Costner.
Yeah, what's with these Kevin Costner like bringing up the brown people movies?
Yeah,
like
he's done three of them in a row.
Yeah, it's so strange. Like, what did he do that was racially insensitive that he is making up for that we just didn't hear about?
Yeah, he's running damage control ahead of time. I mean, he's like, I've done all these movies though, right?
Yeah, he's got to be. It's so weird.
I wanted to see McFarlane USA. Never got around to that one. Yeah. That was a Disney one. Uh-huh. Never saw, what was the other one? Black or White or Black and White? With Octavia Spencer?
Black and White.
This one, it's like along the same lines, but with NASA.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I knew a lot about, you know, the launching of the first rocket and this, that, the other, through all, you know, the movies and living in Florida my whole life.
Oh, true, yeah.
But,
that's right.
I mean, this is definitely a side of the story that I never even knew existed.
Yeah, I mean, what a surprise. The art history books omitted the part of our history in which people of color and women contributed to our achievements, and they struggled to do so as well. And, oh, wow, that's all... brushed under the rug for some reason.
Yeah, gee.
So strange. Why? I wonder why that is. Good thing for bleeding heart liberal Hollywood to bring these stories to light. I really do want to see this movie though, and it's just been a crazy weekend and a crazy week. Hopefully this week, actually, I want to see that. And Fences is still out. Got to see it this week because this weekend even more movies coming out.
Oh yeah, they do.
So many movies. So we'll talk about that in a minute. First, what's number one?
Number one movie of the week, obviously, Rogue One: A Star Wars Story.
Rogue
One. Gross of $21.9 million. Total domestic $477 million. Add on the 437 foreign,
yep. Do some math.
Worldwide math. $914 million.
Wow. My God. Wow. You know, I just wanted to be a day player on that movie.
That's it.
Because Resistibles alone,
yes,
would pay my mortgage for the year.
Get those checks.
Yes.
Instead of those 12 cent checks, you get, oh, this one actually has some zeros
exactly
on it.
I actually put one in the bank for 29 cents. I said, what the hell? I'm going to put it in there.
Might as well. Get that money.
That's what I was doing. Tell me, I'll take it.
Reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where he has all the residual checks from a show in Japan and they're all for like 7 cents. And then Kramer's like, sign these. What's wrong with you? Endorse them. He's like, yeah, it's for nothing. He's like, you got 50 of them. So you mentioned you like Star Wars. Did you make it out to see Rogue One?
No, I hardly ever go out to the theaters.
Right.
So I'm waiting for it to come in. I'm waiting for the 3D version. So it's, I got a nice little setup in my house.
Yeah,
nice.
Dad, my wife and I sit there and we watch, and our cats sit next to us and watch them.
That's very cool.
So I wait for everything so I can see it at home. So I don't have all these people around going, oh, did you
see this?
Oh, that's just beep, beep, beep. Can you text me later?
Yeah, yep. Sure. Yeah, yeah,
I don't care for that.
The theater can be a pain in the butt. I will say this, though. When I saw Rogue One opening night, it was.
Yeah.
The theater was quiet. A full theater. People were they were watching the movie. It's a sign of the movie working in many ways. It's like I remember seeing Inception back in, what was that, 2009 maybe? Maybe later, 2010. And when the movie was ending... I could feel like the tension in the room of wanting to find out how the movie ended, and then when it cuts in and said directed by Christopher Nolan, you can almost feel like the air being sucked out of the room, like, oh, like that's how it ended. And it's like, man, you could tell that this theater is working on these people in a room full of hundreds of people, and everyone was like totally watching the same thing.
Yep. I would love to go to a theater that works.
Yeah,
yeah,
but too many little blue lights show up.
It's and rare. Yeah,
hands and
all the phones,
yeah. And the, everybody's really just okay. I gotta be quiet at this. I can still hear you.
I can still hear you. Yeah, or the guy that takes the phone call, but he walks down to like the aisle on the side,
and then he just talks at full volume. He's like, hey, what's up? How's it going?
No one can see me, so I'm going to talk loudly, even though I'm still in the theater. And you're like,
they should make some of these theaters, you know, proofed it so that you can't get the LTE signal or the Wi-Fi signal, nothing inside the theater.
Yeah.
If it's important, go outside.
You would think so. But they're also working on, this is a rumor, but it's gaining some traction. Apple is, they're testing in a theater mode for their phone, for your iPhones. There's a little popcorn button. You hit the button, and what it does, it turns off all the sounds, it makes it so that it can't receive messages and phone calls, and it automatically dims the screen. Even though you can still, even a dim screen is still very bright in a dark theater, it dims the screen. And some people are like, this is just going to encourage people to use their phones more in a theater. No, we don't want this. So there's a lot of back and forth between the two. It, you know, it's a brave new world with cell phones and these personal devices and people trying to commune and watch movies. This wasn't an issue 15 years ago, 10 years ago.
That's right. That's right.
I remember 10 years ago going to a movie and then two rows in front of me, a couple seats down, a guy's blue light was blinking behind his ear. His Bluetooth thing was in his ear. And I wanted to reach down there and rip it out and throw it across the room like, you moron.
But it's not, he can't see it. It's not bugging him.
It's right. It was behind his head. But I was sitting behind him. I'm like, I'm trying to watch Ang Lee's Hulk.
And you're ruining it for me. Buttered popcorn, just stick it on the top of it. Hey, it's fixed.
There we go. We're good to go. Rogue One, we both liked it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it a bunch on the show now. And we have a spoiler bonus episode that people can check out if they want at chriscresswell.com. So that was your box office recap for the weekend. New movies come out on DVD. Deep Water Horizon comes out on DVD this week, which is the Mark Wahlberg, Peter Berg, Deepwater Horizon true life story about the explosion in the Gulf. We didn't get a chance to see it. It got okay reviews. Not great reviews, though.
Well, we kind of always knew what happened.
That's the thing.
Yeah. You know.
Right? And I guess that's the thing with movies like that. You want to see how it went down, the process of things going wrong and how people survived. That's one thing. But at the end of the day, you're going to know. It's a lot like a movie that you were just in.
I was about to say, you know, you knew what was going to happen. It landed in the river.
Yeah, we not only that, with the Sully movie, we know everyone lived.
Yeah.
Everyone lived, yes. But if you haven't seen the movie, I'm not, spoiler alert, Clint Eastwood did an amazing job.
I thought it was
back and forth in time.
Yeah.
And how they were trying to get Sully in
trouble. I thought the chronology was interesting, the way they pieced the story together. And the one thing I pointed out, even though we all knew the story, because it's only a couple years ago, we know everyone lived, we know it landed in the water. One thing that we didn't know as people just like cursory look of the news, the process of saving everyone, everyone getting off the plane, getting on the wing.
The barges come in.
The barges coming. We have 20 minutes. This plane is going to sink with people standing on it. The water is freezing cold. It's January. A lot of things. People falling into the water. A lot of things I never thought of that the movie shows you very dramatically.
Yeah.
So then by the end, you're like, oh, that was a huge ordeal. It almost, in the news, it's almost like, oh, look.
Hey, look, these people are on the wing. Look, now they're off.
A plane landed in the river. Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, they still got up. Well, that's okay. I got to go to McDonald's.
Yes, exactly. Everyone lived. Great. Okay, this isn't that big of a story. But when you watch the movie, it's like, this was crazy what went down.
Yes.
And then another instance where it was like 3/4 of the movie was almost over, Brett. I'm like, there's Brett Rice. He just walked into the room to collect Tom Hanks. What is this?
I tell you what, I did have to go to the theater to see that one just because, well, I was in Los Angeles and they had an invitation for the red carpet.
Oh, cool, yeah.
And Clint and Tom and everybody were there.
Yeah.
He says at the beginning of the movie, before the movie starts, if you're not interested in the first 90 seconds, if it doesn't blow you away, you can leave.
It does have that. It starts with...
That first 90 seconds just blows you away.
Yeah, it does. It gets you. It's like...
It gets you and you go.
Yeah, it sullies... it's the plane trip, but then it ends very poorly.
Yes.
It's like it's the dream version of the trip. It's like, oh, this is not good. Yeah. It does suck you in. I was surprised by how much I liked that movie, considering the facts that we knew most. We thought we knew the details going into
it. Well, that's like I said. You know what happened.
You did.
But with a great storyteller,
right,
you can make it very interesting.
Right, and then with Deepwater Horizon, I think that may have been lacking. Even though Peter Berg, he's pretty well-liked. His movies are usually pretty good. He did come in on Deepwater Horizon as like a replacement. Mark Wahlberg was doing that with someone else. The director left, and he was like, hey, Pete, can you come help me out with this movie?
Yeah.
So he came in as a replacement. So I think you could feel that the passion wasn't there in the same way as like with a Lone Survivor or Patriot's Day, which is about to come out. Right. Another one of these guys now doing the real life hero trilogy of Wahlberg, Berg and Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're doing their thing. They know what they like. Also coming out on DVD, a movie that I loved quite a bit, The Birth of a Nation. Nate Parker's Slave Revolt movie. It's a worth it, Drew. It's worth checking out for sure. Mm-hmm. It's intense. It's really intense. I liked it a lot. I don't know if I could revisit it, though, because it's one of those where it's like, ooh.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like watching 12 Years a Slave. Like, do I really want to go through that again?
Yeah, you know, a brilliant movie.
I mean, I saw it, and it was amazing.
A gorgeous film.
I can't watch that movie again.
It's a hard movie to sit through. Yeah,
I've done my share of Civil War movies, Civil Rights movies.
You were in Roots.
I was in Roots, for God's sake. Do I want to go see The Birth of a Nation? I know how they got birthed.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, like you said, it's kind of difficult to revisit over and over and over.
100%, yeah.
Let's take 3 years and then do another one.
Exactly.
You would think so, right? Or keep making them, but I'm going to pick and choose which ones I'm going to watch in that case, you know? These movies do need to be made, and these stories need to be told, but they are hard sits. And
spread them out a little bit. It's rough, man.
Spread it around. Spread it around. So that's what's come out on DVD. What's come out in theaters, Drew?
In theaters this weekend, we've got Monster Trucks, which I know you're very excited
for. Very excited for this movie. I can't wait to see how awful it is. The marketing is terrible. And as I mentioned before, the studio already declared a $125 million write-down on this movie. That's how poorly they expected it to perform. At the last shareholders meeting, like, we have a movie coming out in January. It's not going to do well.
It's going to lose a bunch of money. They
pretty much went to the shareholders. We're sorry. We'll do better next time. So that comes out. It's a family movie. As long as the kids like it, right?
Yeah.
Stupid kids. What else is coming out?
The Bye Bye Man.
The Bye Bye Man. Horror film looks terrible.
Yes.
Brett shaking his head like you have no idea.
Have not got a clue.
Consider yourself lucky that you haven't seen any of these commercials.
It does not look promising at all.
It looks like, first off, PG-13 horror film, which
can't be good.
We've said this on the show a thousand times.
Shouldn't be done.
PG-13 horror. Yeah. Like,
why?
Where are the scares?
What's your point? What's the point? Yeah, okay, exactly.
That was a PG-13 horror film right there.
Damn it.
Oh, it's PG. Yeah. No, you're allowed one fuck. Boof, but not in the sexual context.
No.
So. Boo-hoo, fuck you. There you go, PG-13.
Yeah, turn around. Okay, boo. All right, now it's
right. Now we're good. It looks terrible, and it also looks like it's from the 90s. Went back when they used to make those teen-centric horror films. A bunch
does.
Of teenagers running around. And, you know, does. Right? Like, right. I know what you did last summer and that type of thing. Maybe it was written back then. Who knows? And then all they had to do was add cell phones and a website to update the mythology of the Bye Bye Man. What else has come out in theaters, Drew?
Sleepless.
Sleepless is that Jamie Foxx, he's a corrupt cop trying to find his kidnapped son.
Saw a trailer for this movie.
Right? The marketing has been non-existent.
Finally saw a trailer.
I just saw the trailer, yeah.
Yeah, they just snuck it in. I saw the first trailer for the first time maybe 2 weeks ago when I went and saw, I think, maybe Assassin's Creed. So considering it's a Jamie Foxx movie, it's an action movie, it looks very slick. You would think it'd have a bigger marketing campaign. They've been talking about it a few months ago.
Unless it's not that good.
Unless it's not that good.
And Jamie Foxx getting mean.
Yeah, yeah. I like Jamie Foxx in the action roles and stuff. I think he does really well. But he doesn't always have the best track record, though, with movies. You know, it's like, I wish... But then who does, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Daniel Day-Lewis. Other than that, he's also very, very picky. So that's everything that's coming out wide. Two more movies coming out this weekend that started in limited release, now in wide release. We've been talking about them for a minute. Live by Night, the Ben Affleck movie that takes place in Tampa but was shot in Louisiana. Go fuck yourself, Florida legislature. And Silence, Martin Scorsese's long-awaited... much anticipated adaptation of a novel, and actually it was made into a movie back in the 70s.
Oh, nice.
Well, I won't see Live by Night because I auditioned for it.
You don't see movies you audition for?
No, I'm teasing. I didn't read for it. I'm going.
That'd be a heck of a grudge.
I'd love to work with Ben in Louisiana. I mean, go.
You're right there.
Yeah, exactly. Right there. Boom.
Like, if you need me to, I could drive myself. I don't want to, but if that helps, no. Brett says no.
No, I said I'd never work in New Orleans again. Well, I've done about 8 films there. It's hot.
Is that why you said initially you wouldn't go back?
It's like Miami. I don't want to go to work in Miami. Yeah. Except. I'm never going to turn down work.
Yeah,
of course not.
But, exactly.
Working in Miami, working in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, working in Atlanta in the summertime. Come on.
Oh, the summer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. That's South summer. That is
brutal.
I've done
so many movies in New Orleans where it's, you know, August, July, August, September. Roots shot.
But have you done
August?
Oh, well, that you got it. You have to shoot Roots in like the hot. It's like 12 Years a Slave was shot in Louisiana in the summer. You have to do that.
Everyone has to look hot and oppressed.
You have to get the actual.
You don't have to really act.
Exactly.
Get shit off me.
Yep.
Cut. I'm out of here.
But have you ever done the thing where you were in one of these hot spots, it's the summer, and you're wearing a parka because you're doing a movie that takes place in the winter and it's coming out like in the winter? Have you ever had to do that?
It's called Roots.
Were you dressed in a winter coat and Roots?
Did you see the outfit? Did you see? No,
well that's right. You know, all wool.
You know that?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Three-piece suit, all wool, thick. And it's tight, and I got a thing around me, and the top hat, and the sideburns are taped on. And
in the Louisiana summer, no thank you.
Excuse me. Yeah, yes, I have done, as a matter of fact, I shot Christmas in the Smokies in August up in, where was I, Tennessee. Oh, Georgia, I'm sorry.
Georgia, still hot.
And,
brutal.
And we Oh, it's cold out here while I'm sweating.
Right? And then they're coming for last looks. Get the sweat off the forehead. Okay, all right. Now pretend you're cold.
Had a great time, but okay, I'm done.
Man, that's so funny. Yeah, it's like I always see, because usually when someone's making a Christmas movie, they wanted to come out that Christmas.
Yeah.
They got to film it sometime. And it's usually during the summer, 6 months, 7 months at a time.
Yeah, they have to do that.
Just the way the timing works out. all right, so those are your movies coming out in theaters. Now it is time for our weekly segment, which Trista Cogburn, our good in-house doctor, has our prescription for life, and that's called Dr. Drew's 2 Cents. And here's that intro while I drink a beer.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, please take it away.
Well, you know, Chris, it's a new year. Recently, I recently turned another year older myself. And I woke up, today, actually, and just realized, I'm an adult. I have, things to do, and, people rely on me, and, all of a sudden, I own property now, and, I'm planning for, a retirement plan, and, when the hell did that happen? How did that happen? How did I become an adult? I have questions. I want to know how it works.
You have questions. You're the doctor. You're supposed to have answers. You have questions?
Here's the answer. You just don't die.
Okay. There we go.
Just don't die.
Thank you.
There you go.
Doctor's out.
Doctor's out. Thank you very much, Dr. Drew. You became an adult. Just don't die.
Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. Boom. I'm an adult. It's like it happened overnight.
That's debatable. All right, guys, let's take a quick break here. Crespo disco time. I got a song here apropos of nothing. I guess because I was watching a movie the other day. The main theme song for Rambo First Blood Part 2 by Jerry Goldsmith. I caught the beginning of Rambo Part 2.
Yeah, let's watch the whole thing.
I watched most of it. and I was like, man, this theme song is so good. I feel like those 80s theme songs, the Alan Silvestri stuff and the Jerry Goldsmith stuff and that some of that James Horner stuff. It was so, so epic. The synthesizers and the drums and everything. I love it so much. So, guys, I'm going to play the main theme. It's a mean theme
it
and the main
mean.
Theme. We're going to do the main theme and then we're going to come back with the second half of the show. We're going to do plugs, movie news, Billy D set to the movies. They got the Vox Populi, the lightning round. So much to do. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm hanging out with Drew Cogburn and Brett Rice. You guys ready for the second half?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it.
What's the fuss?
Hey, Etchie, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yep. why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Etchie, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, yeah. Thank you so much for your annual donation of $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine, because of your generous contribution, that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of radio.
What's up? It's your boy, Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
That's right, guys. The mullet of Instagram. I was going to say Instagram talk radio. That makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
God damn it.
Come on, Chris.
Now, only Chris, if I could stop this recording and re-record what I just did.
Take another sip of your beer.
I'm gonna
try again.
I'll drink some more.
Uh-huh. Drink some more and then try again.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the mullet of internet talk radio. That's right. All business in the front, party in the back. It is me, your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Juice the Guy Ranger.
What up?
And Brett Rice. Brett,
how you doing?
We are doing fantastic. We're doing great. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At antihero419, all over the internet. Your Instagram, your Twitter, your Facebook, your Snapchat, LO, I already said Facebook.
Is that also a thing?
I keep getting emails from them, so it must be.
On Tinder, on Match, on Farmers Only, Christian Mingle, singlesover50.com.
No.
He's on all of these places.
I am on not those last four things.
If you are looking for facial hair styling tips, email Drew Sikogren at drewdoesmustaches@drewloveshair.org, and he will email you back his mustache and goatee grooming tips. But don't ask him about full beards. He doesn't do those.
I don't know anything about that.
Nothing about him whatsoever. Screw your full beard is what he says.
Seriously, Chris. Screw your full beard.
Sick of looking at all these fat guys with full beards.
So many yesterday.
We saw a lot of them yesterday.
So many fat guys with full beards.
I will go ahead and say that since I just remembered it. Check out the Swervy Jones Show episode. I have no idea. It's the one that's coming out
Monday.
January 9th on Monday. Drew and I just recorded an episode with the Swervy Jones guys at Johnny's Other Side. We had a lot of fun. It was a cool crossover event. A lot of people came out. A lot of fat dudes with
large
beards.
Large bearded gentlemen.
A lot of large bearded dudes. I did not feel very special amongst all those guys.
No,
I was like, oh, I'm just one. Just one in the crowd here.
I stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, you're skinny. Like, look at this. What's a skinny guy doing all these fat podcasting people?
I don't know.
Like, is he a runner who got lost?
He must be.
So check out the Swervy Jones Show. They're awesome. And check out the latest episode because we're on it. Email the show, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook under that name as well. And Twitter at Crespediso. Brett,
yeah.
Where can people find you online?
They can't.
Aha!
Hey, there we go.
Actually, yes, they can.
Oh, they can.
Yeah, I got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Okay.
You know, I'm not a computer literate.
Do you have a team, like social media people that handle that for you?
No, I do not. Actually, my manager is out in Los Angeles. They take care of it.
Okay.
JusticeandPonder.com.
Hey, shout out to those guys. Those are the guys that hooked us up, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Todd and Rodney are great guys.
Very cool.
I've been with them for years, and I probably will stay with them. Until I stop doing this.
Right.
Which would be about never.
Hey, if it keeps working, why stop, right?
I am on Twitter and Facebook. Just don't give a shout out with my name because I get some crazy stuff.
Of course
I'm sure.
And, so I just keep it to myself.
I'm sure you will, absolutely. You mentioned it. So your people are out in LA. This is a question I definitely wanted to ask you. We talked about a little about this off mic. But I know for sure we have people listening to the show because it's a movie show, and a lot of our listeners are here in Florida. We have listeners all over the country and all over the world, but since we're Florida-based, a good chunk is here, and they love movies, and they're people that would be interested in working in the industry in some way. But you always hear about how you have to be in LA, you have to be in New York. Those are the two spots you have to be in. Brett, you're proving that you don't have to be there because you are here. Maybe give our listeners a little bit of inspiration.
Well,
how do you do it?
Let me just give you a little background. I started in Georgia, in Atlanta, mm-hmm. back in the 70s. And was doing theater and then said, I just need to make some money.
Right.
And I could do what they're doing on television.
It seemed easy, right?
Yeah. I was just arrogant and thick-headed enough, bullheaded enough to just actually make a living out of it.
Sometimes that's what you need, though.
Yeah. That's what you need.
Yeah.
People say, you suck. Well,
and you say,
not
okay.
so much.
You're like, no, I don't think I suck. I think you suck. I'm going to keep doing this. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you just have to get over that. Get past that and just keep doing what you're doing.
Right,
never
right,
give,
sure.
Never give up, right. I'm not saying. But, yeah, I started in Atlanta, and back in the 70s, it was going good in the 70s and 80s. Then mm-hmm. I went to L.A. back and forth from Atlanta to L.A. and
okay.
started getting to films. Back then, you could actually make a living in Georgia doing it. But then Georgia died.
Oh, really? They had a bit of an industry going
yes,
back
did.
Then.
Back
oh,
in the 80s, okay. We had in the Heat of the Night and a few other television shows.
Yeah.
We'd have movies coming in there about five or six a year.
Okay.
So you can actually make a little money off of it.
Okay.
I tended bar as well, so, you mm-hmm. know, it gives me. And then I was heading to Los Angeles to stop in Dallas to do a film with a buddy of mine, and, mm-hmm. and we went broke. I mean, ooh. I put my money into the film. And,
yeah.
And the main beneficiary of it was... actually, the sheriff's office came and took all of his furniture out of the building.
Oh, no!
They shut it down, froze his accounts and everything.
Oh, no!
The oil crisis was happening at that time in 81, I think, or 83. And so I had no money. I had a 10 bar in Dallas, Texas, at an Applebee's for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Making enough money.
Yeah.
To come to Florida, where my mother said, come home, honey. Hollywood East is happening.
That's true.
Right?
Late 80s, right?
Yeah. Late mid-80s.
They thought it was, too. Yeah.
It was for a minute.
I got in my car. I drove. She got me a little place to live until I started making money. And
okay.
then I could find my own place.
Okay.
And I thank God for Mom. I love you, Mom. And, we had a little bit of industry here.
Yes.
With the Disney Studios and then Universal started opening
right.
up. And I worked for the studios a couple of times. 1 year at Disney, Streamosphere. Mm-hmm. I loved the job, didn't like the politics.
Sure, yeah.
Everybody has that story.
And yeah.
I went to Universal, was a Ghostbuster for the original.
The original Ghostbuster show. Yeah, right. The show's great.
Did that for a couple of years, and I started doing more television, more film.
Yeah.
And Florida was having some good times then.
It was, for when they funded it, yeah.
Yeah, Tax Incentive then went into Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
So we found ourselves going into Atlanta.
Yes.
So we found ourselves in Florida. Working actors would go to Louisiana or go to Wilmington, North Carolina.
You got to commute, yeah.
You had to do that. So
yeah.
if you want to be in this business, I'm married and I don't have children. I have my cats and my birds.
Sure.
My sacrifice has been that.
Okay. Because that allows you to be able to travel and then do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife, thank God, she's taking care of everything. And she's an actress as well from New York.
Okay.
And met her here in Florida. And she stayed in the business. Now she works in production, mostly wardrobe, costuming.
Oh, cool.
And, like Zombieland and Recount and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just got tired of being the regional, known as a regional actor.
Sure.
Where they bring you in, you get a day, you get a week, maybe.
You're a day player at most, yeah.
The biggest break I got was Remember the Titans, mm-hmm. and I got a run of the film. That was 3.5 months up in Georgia.
Was that before? That's right around the same time as The Waterboy, right?
2000. Waterboy, I don't know if that was before or after.
I think it was like 99. It was like the same, practically the same time period.
Yeah, about the same time.
Yeah.
That gave me the realization that I could actually do this.
Sure.
And hang with the big boys.
Yes.
Which is always gave me a lot of confidence.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say, that's always a big feeling when you're like, I think I can do this.
I think I can do
this.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, I was doing a film in El Paso or somewhere. I can't even think of the name of it. But I took some time and went to Los Angeles. I was going to go get an agent.
Yeah.
And wound up, a friend of mine set me up with Todd Justice, who had his own agency. And,
okay.
It turns out that Todd was in Dallas the same time I was. He was an actor and a model.
Okay.
We were sitting talking, you know, I'm trying to sell him on, hey, I make this much money a year in Florida. What do you think I can do out here?
Sure. Yeah, right.
Right? That's my selling point.
Yeah.
And Todd said, you don't remember me, do you? I said, no, I really don't. He said, our paths crossed. We never did introduce each other, but I was with Kim Dawson agency and you were too.
So you ran in the same circles.
So here I am in Los Angeles trying to find an agent and ran into this guy. He sends me out the next, that afternoon to 24.
Oh, really?
TV show,
yeah.
24. I walk in, book it.
Nice.
I go the next morning for a movie, book it.
Oh.
Unfortunately, these two shows, I'm still filming in Texas.
Yes.
So I get a call at 5:30 in the morning one day. First AD is going, Mr. Rice, your call time for tomorrow morning is 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know I'm in El Paso. Oh, I'm not going to make that.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, okay. Well, to make a long story short, I got paid for the shows, but you couldn't do them.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But that was the start. I said, now I know I can work there.
Yes.
Yeah. So over the years, I finally picked up, and I've got an apartment out there with a good friend, Lee Dawson, who is an actor as well.
Okay.
I keep my apartment year-long, and I go out there almost 8 months out of the year.
So that is then helpful to you. You do have a secondary residence. You don't live there, but when you need to go to L.A. for meetings or for work, you have a place where you can stay.
That's right. As a matter of fact, I'm flying out Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning, we had a director session on Wednesday, and fire the hole.
Yeah, Drew, can you handle that fire that's outside while I continue talking to Brett?
That's all right.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I'm going to fly out there, but, you know, I've got my full set of clothes out there.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I got everything I need.
And then you were telling me earlier, so you're going to fly out there this week for a gig, and then they're going to immediately fly you right back to Atlanta?
Well, I'm flying myself out because I have to go meet these people.
Yes.
They're not going to fly me for that. They'll give me the job, they'll fly me everywhere.
But yes.
And then the movie I've been working on, it's not quite finished, called Case for the Christ. Leo Strobel.
Yes.
They're doing some reshoots or adding more material.
Okay.
They've got a couple of scenes that they said, we found that we need to have you in this.
So okay.
I said, well, I'm going to be in Los Angeles. Well, we'll fly you to Atlanta. I said, well, since I'm going to stay in Florida until the end of February, you just fly me back to my house.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Well, as opposed to like fly you back to L.A. so you can fly from L.A. back to Florida?
Yeah, it worked out for me. So I get to stay a few more weeks and see my wife and
very
and
good
parents.
The Case for Christ, that's based on a book.
Yes,
it was. It's a nonfiction book, right?
It's nonfiction, yeah. It's actually true. The basis for it is, and I hope I get this correct, is that a reporter, Leo Strobel.
Andrew just came back just in time.
Just in time.
Sorry about that, Brett.
I thought that was me at Taco Bell.
That's a Taco Bell alarm. No, I'm sorry, Brett. That's the Drewster Cogburn versus the World alarm every week with Drewster plays our guest in a trivia game. But before we do that, I want to finish talking real quick about The Case for Christ. It was a journalist, right?
Who wrote the book? Who wrote the book, and it was basically how can you prove that Christ was resurrected and that Christ was Christ.
Right. The actual Jesus Christ story.
So go out and disprove what happened.
Sure.
What is set in Scripture.
Yeah.
And he actually went out and tried to disprove the resurrection of
Christ. As a non-believer.
As a non-believer. And he found that he could not.
Interesting. Because the absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence, et cetera, et cetera.
And we believe a lot of things that have been written thousands of years before, but
sure.
The scriptures were written, you know, within 100 or a
couple thousand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. More recently. Yeah,
so, it's a very interesting look at it, and it's a faith-based audience. But I tell you what, I'm a spiritual man.
Are you?
Yes, I am. Raised Episcopalian.
Okay. Protestant. But, is that Protestant? Right, Episcopalian? Yeah, yeah, okay.
There's so many religions in the world.
Yeah.
How can you say that yours is the right one?
Yeah.
I mean, no, especially what's going on nowadays.
Right.
Exactly.
So I'm spiritual, I believe in God, but I'm not going
to
go.
So then when you got the chance to do the role, you see that as an opportunity to be like, oh, this kind of lines up with my beliefs already, and it's like, as opposed to, I'm playing like a bad cop or,
the character I'm playing is like his mentor, who taught him everything he knows about journalism. And,
okay.
And he's a true disbeliever. But he says,
okay,
hey, you want to figure it out? Go disprove it.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
And he couldn't. And that's
That's the basis of it. Do you know already, like, distribution-wise for that particular movie? Is it going to be a bigger thing, or is it? Are they looking for festivals?
Well, John Gunn is the director, and he did, like, Dandelion Dust with Mira Sorvino years ago. And that was theatrical release.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that this is going to be theatrical. I just don't know when or who's distributing it.
Right. That's the thing. Those things never come together anyway. Typically don't come together until after a movie is made anyway. Yeah. And you show it to some people. Every now and then, though, they will have that stuff in place ahead of time. It's different now.
Well, it depends. It's a lot harder for them.
Yeah.
They might take it to the festivals to get somebody to buy it.
And then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I just got contacted recently by a guy who worked for New York Times, Andrew Goldman, mm-hmm. who did a documentary called The Desk. That played at the Florida Film Festival last year in 2016, but 2015.
Okay.
And I it debuted at that festival, and I just happened to be the first person to review it, so it put me on his radar. And because it features a well-known New Zealand personality, my review got quoted in a New Zealand Herald, which is ridiculous. Shout outs to New Zealand. Shout out to the two people who still listen to the show from that crazy time a couple years ago. But he made this documentary. I thought it was really good. I gave it a good review. I thought it was very interesting. It covered a lot of topics, and hit me up almost 2 years later saying, hey, I know you gave me a good review. My movie is on Vimeo now. If you want to let people know, people can just go to Vimeo and just watch it for free, because he never got any sort of distribution for it whatsoever.
Yeah, we actually finished a film 2-3 years ago called Heartbreak. We shot it with the UCF people.
Okay.
Gosh, oh my gosh.
With the film school people?
Yeah. This is terrible because I can't remember the gentleman's name who directed it, and he just passed away last year.
Oh.
According to IMDb, Ralph Clemente.
Ralph Clemente, yes, Ralph, okay. Wonderful man, and I just love his accent because he's Austrian.
Oh, Austrian accent, yeah, that's good.
But had known him for years, and we put this thing together with Wayne Catlett, and this story of a Korean woman who wants to be a number one pool player in the world. She comes to me, who is the best coach in the world.
I saw this. I saw the you're the lead.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Hustler, Color of Money type thing.
Yeah, it really is kind of like that, because it goes through that sort of it goes through the story where I have to teach her how to play, and she's a good player, but you got to show her the ropes.
The old
teach her how to do it the right way.
Yes, yes.
And at one point we walk into a pool hall and she's getting hustled by somebody, so I throw $10,000 on the table and say, hey kid, tell you what, $10,000, raise to 10, let's go.
Yeah.
And the kid's just strutting around trying to shoot it, and finally I say, you know what, sometimes you do it for this reason, sometimes you do it for that reason.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just like to fuck around and have a good time. Just wear this guy out.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I had a great time doing it because I love to play pool.
And is that one, it's a Heartbreak.
Heartbreak.
Is that going to get a chance to come out? What's going on with that one?
They've got it finished, and they're looking for distribution, so anybody out there wants to know about it, Wayne Kettridge.
Yeah, please do. Hopefully, they'll play some festivals and stuff.
I sure hope so.
If it has a connection with UCF, it should be submitted to the Florida Film Festival. Yeah, they love it.
There's a lot of things going on, and they're keeping it under wraps because who knows who could pick up the idea.
And then
I did a movie, a golf movie, Bobby Jones' Stroke of Genius.
Yeah.
Disney did a movie called The Greatest Game Ever Played.
And it's the same
within
thing?
Within 3 months of opening.
Ah.
And Greatest Game Ever Played was a better story.
Yeah.
Our movie was, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
But it didn't have that money and didn't have that...
Disney behind them.
The Disney machine.
Yeah. But, you know, if you hear a story, somebody says, you know, we can write one over here.
Yes.
Better.
Yes, and that's how you end up with the twin
movies. I'm
not
saying Disney stole it by any sort of stretch of the imagination, but...
It happens.
Disney stole it.
Disney stole it. You're not saying it. Drew
did. You didn't say it. I said it.
Similarly, you worked on Gordy, but Babe is the movie
Babe is the movie, exactly right.
That's one of my favorite twin movies, like, you know, the Armageddon, Deep Impact thing. Like, I can't believe they made two pig movies.
Gordy was a great movie.
It was a good movie.
It got like 1 week of release, and then Babe came along and went,
and crushed it. Like, what, guys, it's practically the same movie. Why are you arbitrarily picking one pig over the other? You know why? Wasn't Gordy a black pig? And Babe was
white pig.
It was a white pig. Okay,
because I had to move him around.
He knows.
We saw that big 2,000-pound hog. Excuse me.
Very.
I'm from the south, but not that south. Come on.
Very familiar with. Fair enough. You're right. Okay. Well. To sum all that up, to wrap it up, you can work in these industries if you're not living there, but you will have to hustle a little bit, and you will have to travel.
If you're a Florida actor, you have to go to Georgia.
Got it.
Because that's across where the border. They've got more films and more television shows going on right now.
It's because the government, the government's funding that stuff.
Making Los Angeles is really upset because of Atlanta.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They're taking enough notice out there.
Take a lot of work out of there.
Wow.
I didn't know it was that much.
Five out of 10 films I read for last year, they were shooting in Georgia.
Wow.
But, you know, you have to read for them out in L.A. if you want to get paid the right money. And get a little bit of status.
Sure, sure.
Because otherwise you get hired in Georgia. And not to take anything away from Georgia actor, because I am one.
Yeah.
They just don't get the same credit, the same...
You said earlier, they slap on that regional actor label. And
we can replace him easy. We get somebody else.
Sure.
You're hired from Los Angeles, you don't get replaced.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, people, hustle, work, travel, do what you got to do.
Do what you got to do. Exactly.
But go do it though. That's the main thing. Go do it.
No. Put the gas in the tank and drive up there.
Yeah. That's it. Oh, the gas. Oh, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It was tough, but
that's tough.
It worked out.
Okay. Well, thanks for all the information, Brett. I really appreciate it. I'm sure the listeners do as well. Like I said, that sound that keyed off a few minutes ago from Ironhide, that's Drew Sikogren versus the World, Brett. Every week, Drew plays our guest in a game of trivia. Last year, out of 30 rounds, Drew went 17-13. Not bad at all. This year, this is only the second round, so Drew, you are 1-0.
Yes, I am.
All right, you won last week. This week, blah, try that again. John Wick's game. This week's game is called Adaptations. I'm going to tell you the title of a book. You tell me what movie that book got turned into. Okay.
He's going to get
the book got turned into it from a movie?
Yes. No, the book turned into a movie.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to give you the original title. Someone took that title, adapted it into a movie. But here's the clue, guys. Every book title I'm going to tell you, the title changed to the movie. So I'm not going to... Yeah. None of them are going to be Fight Club.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, wait. I know that one.
It's Fight Club. Yeah. Very good. And Drew, you won last week, so you get to go first.
Correct.
We have two groups of five, A or B. You get to choose A or B. Choose wisely. I tried to make them as equally hard as possible.
Yeah, you never...
But I always screw it up somehow.
Drew, you're going to be 2-0 real quick.
You'd be surprised, Brett. Let's go with group B.
Group B. Okay, I'm going to tell you the title of the book or the novella. You tell me the name of the movie. Number one, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Oh, man.
What? C-3PO.
Wasn't that...
Drew's thinking hard. He thinks he knows it. Drew's struggling. I can see the fumes coming out of his... Oh, is that still the smoke? No, you put the fire
out. Oh, man.
Do Androids dream of electric sheep?
Oh, man.
I love the title. I love that title.
I know.
Very thought-provoking.
I know this, too, because we talked about it recently.
We talk about it a lot, actually. No? No,
that's
Drew?
That's why I'm so angry with my... Oh,
I'm going to need an answer.
AI Artificial
Intelligence. Oh, close, but no. Blade Runner. Blade Runner.
Yeah.
This could be hard, Brett.
This is going to be rough.
This could be hard. We could see an over 10 scenario between the two of you. Here we go. Number two, The Orchid Thief. Yeah, this is going to be a hard one. The Orchid Thief.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Adaptation. That was a tricky one, because the movie is called Adaptation. It's about a book adaptation. Number three, Oil, with an exclamation point.
Ooh. Oh, God. There Will Be Blood.
That is correct. Upton Sinclair's There Will Be Blood. Number four, Who Goes There? Question mark.
Home Alone.
Ooh, so close. The Thing. Practically the same film. Number five, Lost Moon.
Moon.
No, Apollo 13.
Oh, quite. See,
written by one of the astronauts, Jim Lovell.
They all make perfect sense when you say that.
Afterwards, they say.
Yeah.
Brett, you only got to get two right. Brett doesn't look very confident. Remember that confidence when he got that 24 roll. Remember that. This is what you want to bring to us. Here we go. Number one, what movie is this? Wise Guy, Life in a Mafia Family.
Wise Guy, Life in a Mafia Family.
Yes, that's the name of the book. What movie?
Wise Guys.
Oh, close, but no. Goodfellas. Goodfellas. Number two. This one's going to be hard as hell. Number two, One Shot.
I'm thinking One Shot.
One Shot, that's a tough one.
That's a bar movie, a pistol movie, Django.
You're on the right track with the action. Jack Reacher, that was the title of the book. It turned into the first Jack Reacher movie. You were right with the guns. Number three, Rum Punch.
Captain Jack. Jack Sparrow.
Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah.
No, Jackie Brown. That was the Elmore Leonard novel that got turned into Jackie Brown.
Hey, I'm doing good.
This is so difficult.
I got so close.
This is the hardest game. Here we go. Number four,
Nothing lasts forever.
Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
A good title. That's a good,
no,
I like it.
I know exactly. That makes more sense than what it got turned into. Die Hard. That's,
what?
That's the original title what? For the book that they. Yes, Die Hard. First off, Die Hard's based on a book. And second, yes, that's the title of it. All right, last one, Brett. If you get this right, you guys tie. We'll have a tiebreaker. Number five. What movie got turned? What movie got made from the book? Just Another Sucker. Just. Another Sucker.
I thought I did know that one. Just Another Sucker. Not Dumb and Dumber. It has Steve Martin. No,
you're right on it. You're thinking of it.
The guy, Michael Caine, Steve Martin.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yes.
Incorrect. Okay. I was thinking maybe you might get this one. Just Another Sucker got turned into the movie Palmetto.
Oh, you
which you're know, in. Right? You're in, and you live there.
Yeah, I lived in Sarasota at that time. But you got because a lot of that was filmed with the
rain
that
night. The whole night it was your rain. So I forgot all about it.
It's not like they pass out the book to all them. Make sure you read this book to do your part.
Yeah.
So Drew Zakogman, congratulations. You win that round of Drew Zakogman versus the World. A very, very hard game,
dude,
I have to
brutal.
Say.
That was
a brutal one. I do all that just to say, people listening at home, read more books.
Yeah,
read more books.
I say that every week. I think I need to read more books now.
I say that every week. Read more books. All right. Thank you, Brett, for participating in the game. I appreciate that.
Well, I was here.
you did show up.
Yes.
You showed up. Honestly, that's all we ask for. That really is all we ask for. Just be here.
Actors, just show up. Get on time. Get on time. Hit your marks. Get off stage.
On time. You're here early. That's even better. Okay, let's get into what are we going to start with? Let's go ahead and start with the movie news segment. And I have an intro for that, which is this.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently, Han wasn't so solo after
all.
He's
been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the Biebs?
That's right, guys. Time for the Crespedisa Movie News Update. We talk about the hottest beach bods, celebrity divorces, all the things that are most important in movie news. But what's really most important with entertainment, Brett, what's going on with the Biebs?
The Biebs. Oh, well, he's getting in trouble everywhere, left and right. He's jumping out there. He's got the girls just screaming after him. And I'll tell you what, the Biebster, just keep your mouth shut and sing.
Yes.
Agreed.
There we go. Yes, Brett Rice with the Biebs update. Thank you so much.
You got it.
Perfect. We always want to know. We got to keep tabs on him.
I know what's going on with the Biebs,
man. Got to
keep
tabs on the Biebs, man. Movie news time. Okay, I should have had my stories pulled up, and I didn't. I have an extra long intro, and I just sit there listening to it like an idiot instead of doing the work that I'm supposed to be doing. Movie news. I only got a couple quick stories here. First off, Shane Black. He's writing and directing the new Predator. The Predator. Okay. Fox is putting a bunch of money behind an R-rated, big-budget Predator movie. They're trying to revitalize the franchise as like a Deadpool-level, R-rated series of films for adults.
So how is Christmas involved?
That's the thing. Shane Black... makes all his movies involve Christmas somehow. Even Iron Man 3 has Christmas. The Long Kiss Goodnight, The Nice Guys.
Yeah, The End of Nice Guys.
Yep, The Lethal Weapon.
All of it.
He was talking for a while about The Predator, part of it taking place in suburbia.
Like a suburban Christmas?
So, obviously it would have been
it
during...
It started snowing and, let's shoot that thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It disappeared. It looked like a snowflake.
It's like, the tree just moved. Oh, that was a killer alien shrimp that wants to blow my head off. But then apparently the suburbia thing got dropped, so I don't know how they're going to work in Christmas. They have to somehow. Maybe we'll be on a spaceship and they'll just acknowledge it's Christmas. Like, back on Earth it's Christmas, you know? I bring it up because we have some updates on the cast, and it's putting together a pretty good cast. Initially, Benicio Del Toro is going to be the lead,
which
is insane, because you don't think of Benicio Del Toro with sci-fi, action, The Predator, that's insane. But because of scheduling conflicts, Benicio dropped out, replaced by a younger actor named Boyd Holbrook, who looks like he's about to blow up in the next few years. He's a really young guy. He's going to be in a new Wolverine movie coming out in March.
Oh, Brett.
So his name's about to become one of those guys. Maybe. We'll see how it goes. Or he could be the next Sam Worthington, where it's like, they tried really hard to make us like him, and then we're like, eh.
Yeah, he could end up being one of those guys.
Could end up being one of those guys. The rest of the cast, though, for The Predator, we have Olivia Munn.
who she's been doing a lot of comic book stuff, sci-fi stuff, things like that. She was just in X-Men Apocalypse and Ride Along to Office Christmas Party a couple weeks ago. Did you get a chance, because you get screeners, do you know if you have laying around back at the house a screener of Moonlight, Brett?
Moonlight? No, we just don't know. We haven't got that yet.
You haven't got that one yet? No. If it comes in the mail from A24, it's A24, right?
Yes, it is.
Looking for it, yeah.
Yeah, it comes from them. Check it out. It's great. In that movie, the main character is shown in three parts of his life.
Oh, I take that back. We've got it streaming. We got it there. And
oh, you got that, it? Okay.
Three other films came in, and we're like, okay, it just came in?
Yeah.
So, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You got to pick, like, what do I have time to watch?
Yeah.
Moonlight is definitely worth checking out. A very striking, beautiful, personal film. The main character is shown as a kid, as a teenager, and as an adult, as like a 30-year-old. The adult... guy who played the adult, Trevante Rhodes.
Yes.
He is going to be in the Predator movie. So he's going from Moonlight to the Predator, which is a gigantic jump.
It's a nice jump. You know, you can do one thing. You also do the heavy.
It'll be good for him, for his CV, to show people, look, I can be in a very real personal drama.
And there's another actor, Miles Teller, does the same thing.
He does. Yeah, he did Fantastic Four, and then he turns around and does The Spectacular Now or something like that.
And the movie and the boxing. Bleed for this.
Yes. Which is another one. Man, too many movies come out because I wanted to see that one. I'm a big Miles Teller fan. I think he's great.
He's a good friend, yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
What were you just talking about? The La La Land is the same director who did Whiplash,
which was amazing.
With Miles Teller.
Whiplash was amazing.
Yeah.
That was my favorite movie of a couple years ago when it came out. Mm-hmm. So good. Got J.K. Simmons that Oscar. And this is kind of perplexing. What kind of movie are they making? The Predator will also feature Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele.
What?
Okay. Yes. That doesn't make much sense.
Both of you guys gave me the exact same look of what?
Okay.
Like, is this a comedy?
Well, that's where the Christmas part comes in.
Right.
Yeah.
There we go. You must have Christmas and the Predator.
And he's having the Christmas party and then the Predator shows up.
Come on in.
And he kills Keegan-Michael Key.
There we go.
That'd be a lot of fun. I'd be totally down with that. Also confirmed, the cinematographer is Larry Fong, who drew Larry Fong, shot a lot of Zack Snyder stuff.
He shot
Watchmen and things like that.
Okay.
So at the very least, the movie's going to look gorgeous and it's going to have some interesting cast.
That'd be pretty.
Brett, have you ever auditioned for a role and been told that you couldn't get it because of some sort of physical characteristic? Too tall, too big, too small, anything like that? Anything pop to mind immediately, or are you just like, you just know it's happened to you before?
A particular film?
Yeah.
Rather not say.
That's fine. You don't have to.
But yes, that has happened. A friend of mine at Los Angeles actually got the role.
Yeah.
Because he's 6'2". He's a little more Boston Irish.
Oh, really?
And
6'2"? What are
you? I'm 6'1". And
6'1" and
185 with arms like this. And I'm 240 and with a belly like this.
Okay, sure.
So, yeah, there's the physicality do work, but I've based my entire career on being a little heavier than most actors.
Well, that's why a lot of sheriff roles, a lot of cop roles, like that. Yeah,
sure. Congressmen and now senators now.
Because the bigness is like imposing for an authoritarian type of role.
My manager's actually told me, so Brett, you're our big guy.
Oh, really?
We really don't want you to lose weight. For your health, go ahead, but don't
for your career, get those cheeseburgers.
Don't get down to 185 because you know we can't really use you.
Interesting.
We got these guys that way.
Interesting.
So stay where you are.
Very interesting.
You mentioned Sheriff. I wanted to ask you about this too. Maybe you know the answer to this because it's been bugging me. Super 8. You're the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's running in those underground tunnels. They're running away. And they're running away from the alien. The alien's in the darkness. Brett knows exactly what I'm talking about. You're standing there. You're holding a gun. Like, follow me or it's going to be okay. And then out of the darkness, you get grabbed and yanked out. I saw this in theaters, Drew, with Matt from SBK Live. And he jumped out of his chair when that happened. Like, halfway out of his seat. Made me laugh.
I did the same thing. I knew what was coming.
And you knew what was coming. He was like, he jumped out of his chair.
What I thought was funny was that kids, grow up and get your own mind. Okay? Have your own mind. Be your own person.
Yeah.
But the adults don't always say, come on, follow me. It'll be just fine. And then kids are going the other way, going, stupid ass.
Yeah. That's so true. Okay, but here is my question. The end of the movie, the whole movie, it's like he's an alien. There's a creature. It's like destroying stuff. Everyone's scared of it. And then it turns out at the end, it's an E.T. scenario. The alien's just trying to get home, right? Oh, he wasn't a bad guy. He's just captured by the government, trying to get home, is all the aliens trying to do. Right. But the aliens snagged you and grabbed you and took you. Did he kill you? What happened to the sheriff character? Did this good alien kill the sheriff?
The second time, yes, he did. The first time, you know, he got taken.
Yes.
And he was still alive.
Uh-huh.
Oh, go figure. He hadn't been gotten yet.
But then he got dinked again.
He had to have some protein somewhere, so the sheriff was there. He's bigger than the kids, so let's take the big guy.
The sheriff was a lot bigger than the kids. Yeah. So the sheriff ended up being a protein shake for the alien.
Yeah, pretty much.
We still got to cheer for the alien at the end. Like, oh, he's going home. This is a good thing.
Yes, E.T. on steroids.
Exactly. But I was thinking that alien killed that sheriff. Yeah. He killed Brett Rice.
Because the sheriff was an authority figure and it was going against him.
Yeah,
the kids, not so much.
Yeah, that's fair enough. He had a gun.
That's right.
He had a gun. Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you for the explanation. Okay. That was bugging me for years.
Oh, my gosh.
Keeping me up at night.
I'm here for you.
Oh, you're the best. I ask you all of that because Chris Pratt revealed in an interview a role that he had within the last few years, a role that he did get, but he almost missed it. He had to cut weight like a boxer in order to get the role. You guys want to take a guess, hazard a guess as to what that role might be?
Jurassic
World? No. He was already pretty fit for that one by that time. Drew?
I mean...
Oh, that was before that.
Yeah.
What? Guardians?
No, Guardians, he got ripped for that. He was ripped for that.
Chris Pratt before then.
Yeah.
Well, that's when he was on Parks and Recreation on TV.
He
was Fat Pratt, and actually, he gained weight as he was doing the TV role, and everyone was like, I guess similar to your management. They're like, keep gaining the weight. We need a fat character. This is a comedy. Fat is funny in comedy.
What you can do.
Exactly.
But,
and then he auditioned for Moneyball to be a pitcher in Moneyball. Yeah. He's the pitcher.
You're right.
Yes, and they told him, we like you, you're too fat. And he was like, dope! I need to lose that TV weight. Yeah. And he said he stopped drinking alcohol and crash dieted. Worked out like an idiot. And he lost enough weight to get that role. And then since then, he's been trying to keep it off for Guardians of the Galaxy. He got a trainer and actually got physically ripped. And then Jurassic World 2 is coming out. Magnificent 7. He's now a bona fide action star.
Yeah, he is.
He's also said in interviews, though, he is looking forward to getting fat again.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, and because his wife doesn't care.
Yeah, Anna Faris loves to cook, too. And she's like, he won't eat anything I make anymore.
Eric Roberts once told me that he spends his whole life, he gets up 5 o'clock in the morning, he works out for an hour and a half. So this is what I've dedicated my life. This is what I sacrifice.
Yeah.
I get up and do this every morning.
Yeah.
I look at him and said, well, I guess I'm going to wait till I'm 70 to start doing that.
The other way.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the Jack Lalanne model is what that is. The kids know Jack Lalanne.
No. So.
Jackie Gleason model.
Yeah, Jackie Gleason, absolutely. Finally, last movie news story here. I found this funny that I saw this online because, Drew, we were talking about this recently with someone else. The reason why Michael Keaton did not come back for the third Batman movie.
Yes.
He confirmed it for sure. Tim Burton had already left. Joel Schumacher got hired. And then
he's like, I want to put nipples on the bat suit.
Not only that, but Schumacher helped rewrite the whole thing. Like, this is the direction we're taking Batman in. Michael Keaton got the script, and he said, no.
It's going to be too bizarre.
Yes, too light, as a matter of fact. And here's his exact quote. Who is he even talking to? It doesn't matter. Michael Keaton quote, the script sucked. The script never was good. I couldn't understand why he, meaning Joel Schumacher, wanted to do what he wanted to do. I knew it was in trouble when Schumacher said, why does everything have to be so dark?
Because it's Batman!
Every once in a while, you know, a great director has a brain fart.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? He made Falling Down. That's a great movie. Mm-hmm. Falling Down is like the year 2016 became sentient and came to life.
Yeah, I know, right?
Joel Schumacher can be a good director. He's done some of the best episodes of House of Cards. David Fincher, he handpicked him to do some episodes. And he's like, this is the guy that appropriates my style the closest. He's so good. But then he did Batman and Robin.
Or
The Phantom of the Opera with Gerard Butler. What? What? First off, Scottish Phantom of the Opera?
Anyway. Yeah.
I can't even, I was going to try to do a Scottish accent, but I can't. Anyway, so there's your movie news segment. Michael Keaton didn't do the movie because he knew it sucked. Although, I mean, I like Batman Forever, the one with Jim Carrey, and
I did too.
Yeah, it's campy, but it's fun.
It's out there.
But I'd still like the newest movie. Explained how he got this way. Aaron Eckhart.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I love Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. All those are great. And then the new ones with Ben Affleck. Mm-hmm. They haven't done much with Batman.
I've not seen the one with Ben Affleck. I just can't see that yet.
Yeah, and it's also long.
I love Ben, but I'm sorry.
He also got turned down for Live by Night. So I was like, come on, Ben.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy.
All right, that's our movie news segment. So now let's get into, you know what, let's do our Billy D's set of the movies. Billy D is our New York City senior correspondent, lives up there in Brooklyn, and our horror film aficionado. Hits us up every week, and he has an intro, and it goes like this.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
All right, there we go. Billy D, you can hit him up on Twitter, at ILoveBlood. But Brett, trust me, he's a nice guy. Okay, he's a very nice guy. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
Happy birthday so to you both. Hope you dudes are enjoying your 36-hour winter. We got some serious snow yesterday, and it was cold as fuck.
It was cold here, man. It was like 35.
Dude, yesterday when I was talking to Billy, it was 26 degrees up there.
Up there?
Up there. I stayed inside and binged a bunch of scary movies and made a big-ass pot of chicken and dumplings. Perfect snow day. Before settling into my annual snowstorm viewing of The Thing, nice. I rented a little movie on Google Play from 2014 that my girl wanted to watch, an Irish movie called The Borderlands.
The Borderlands?
Yes.
Okay, write it down.
This is a found footage movie about a team of investigators dispatched to a country church by the Vatican to investigate a miracle. They are a jaded bunch who don't investigate miracles so much as they expose hoaxes. Yeah, I dug this, even though it suffers from some dumb point choices, it does go to some interesting places. If you want a fun little romp through an ancient church, then look no further. The Borderlands is a solid entry into the found footage genre and actually has some great scares and terrifying images. Stay warm, Billy D.
That reminds me of... Thanks, Billy D. I appreciate it. That immediately reminds me of... I don't even like found footage horror. That's one of my least...
That's Bill's thing.
That's Bill's thing. It's one of my least favorite genres of film. It's so lazy. But a couple years ago, someone made a movie that sounds just like that, where it was about a guy who was a priest, wasn't anymore, and he doesn't do exorcisms. He goes around trying to prove that they're fake.
Okay.
And he gets hit up by someone's like, my daughter, we think she's possessed. Like, please come check it out.
Is that
like,
new TV show? Exorcist?
No, not the Exorcist TV show. No, this came out, I want to say, 4 years ago. And I think it's called The Last Exorcism.
That's right, yes.
Yes, and it's a found footage thing because they're walking around with cameras and like, we're going to document this whole thing. That's the concept. And then the idea is that as they go through it, things start happening. Like, oh, we think this might actually be real. Like, they're trying to disprove it. Almost like the Case for Christ type thing. Except the opposite way, because it's with demons and stuff. It sounds like that, except this is an Irish version of that movie, he said?
Yeah.
Irish. The Borderlands.
Borderlands.
Irish. Did he do a French found footage horror film last week?
I think it's probably... Yeah, he looks like he's doing an international
kick. He's doing the Epcot around the world found footage horror stuff.
I think so.
Oh my goodness, Billy. You're going to put us through this. All right, well, it's your life, man. We appreciate it. That's Billy. He's at the movies.
Don't worry. It'll be fun. Just watch it.
Just watch it. We found these footage. Just see. That's not it. That's a terrible Irish accent. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Thank you, Billy. We appreciate it. Now let's get into the Vox Populi. This is the segment of the people, the voice of the people, and this is the intro of the people.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
What you say?
What you guys see, you let us know. You email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. We'll read on the show. Movie reviews, questions, topics, all that stuff. You can hit us up on Facebook, on Twitter. And like we said before, if you leave us iTunes reviews or Stitcher radio reviews, no matter what you say, we'll read it. You got those reviews, Drew?
Oh, I do.
Let's read some of those reviews real quick.
Got a review by Douglas Douglas.
This is for iTunes?
Yes, on iTunes.
Douglas Douglas.
Turmoil has engulfed the Galactic Republic. The taxation of trade routes to outlying star systems is in dispute. Hoping to resolve the matter with a blockade of deadly battleships, the greedy Trade Federation has stopped all ships to the small planet of Naboo. While the Congress of the Republic endlessly debates its alarming chain of events, the Supreme Chancellor has secretly dispatched two Jedi Knights, the Guardians of Peace and Justice in the galaxy, to settle the conflict. I'm pretty sure that's the opening scroll to Star Wars Episode 2?
No, that's definitely Episode 1, The Phantom. Talking about trade tariffs, that's Episode 1.
Are you sure
one.
You're not talking about androids sleeping with electric sheep?
Sleeping with electric sheep, that's
even
better.
That's something different. That's a whole different movie.
That's New Zealand Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Sleeping with electric sheep.
Wow.
Oh my god. What I said, Brett, last week was that you can write write us an iTunes review. If you rate us 5 stars, no matter what you write, we're going to read it.
So I did.
So he wrote the opening scrawl to episode 1 of Phantom Menace. And then...
Who knows? Maybe we are the 2 Jedi Knights, Chris.
What was the other button? The other one's better.
Yeah,
the other one's better. Thanks, Douglas. We really appreciate the 5-star review on iTunes. You can also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and we'll read it on the show. What about on Stitcher?
Oh, we also got a 5-star rating from Ed Lovables on Stitcher.
That's our homie DJ Shuffles, a.k.a. Ed Lovables.
Most informed and hardest working movie podcast on the net.
These
guys deliver shows on Christmas week after most podcasters have clocked out for the year.
That's true, we're suckers.
Don't skip the bonus episodes. They're not fluff or filler, and they touch on stuff outside of movies. And in pants. They touch on stuff in pants. Who will be the 4th review?
I think I'm going to leave now.
Brett, please.
How do I read emoticons?
Describe it.
Small O, underscore large O.
Oh, that's crazy face. Wow, that's crazy face. Thanks, Ed. Ed has been a past guest on the show as well as a guest co-host. Well, a few times when Drew's been out. He had his own podcast, FSEDM, a music podcast, but he hasn't been doing that for a minute, so... Aww. Can't plug it because he's not doing it. Ed, give us some music. Thanks for the reviews, guys. We really appreciate it. All right, let's get to Facebook. What do we got?
We got a Rogue One review and a Don't Breathe review from our boy Paul.
All right, Paul, let's hear it.
Finally saw Rogue One, a Star Wars story, and I loved it.
Ooh.
A great contained story that fits perfectly into the pre-existing timeline mm-hmm. and showcases some new characters while giving nods to the old favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I am one with the Force. The Force is with me.
Yes. Good line.
Also saw Don't Breathe.
Okay.
It started off down the predictable scary movie path until the twist hit. 2 words. Turkey baster.
Huh.
I wasn't satisfied with the ending, but the movie had a much better than my expectations. Happy birthday, Drewster. Thanks, Paul.
Oh, what a nice guy gave you that birthday shout out. Thanks, Paul. We appreciate that. Don't Breathe.
Yeah, turkey baster.
Are you into horror movies at all, Brett?
Yeah, I did. Used to be into them a long time ago.
A long time ago?
As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, I saw a movie about an alien that's... kind of like Aliens.
Yeah.
This was when I was like very young.
Okay.
So we're talking the early 60s.
Okay.
But I could swear it was remade into Alien. Big scary creature inside of a capsule and
yeah.
started eating everybody inside the capsule.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Flushed them out.
Into space.
At the very end.
Oh, that's it. That's the end. That's Alien. Yeah.
But I saw it when I was like 8 or 9 years old.
You saw the original version.
Scared me.
And I guarantee you.
It's funny though, right? When especially if you're a kid and you're watching movies of the time, they're going to scare the hell out of you. Mm-hmm. I'm already going to jump a gun on one of our questions here, unfortunately. But someone's asking about Howard the Duck.
Yes.
I saw Howard the Duck when it first came out in the mid 80s. So I was a bambino, 5 years old, soft brain, you know, had no taste or anything. And I loved the movie, and the ending scared the crap out of me because I had a stop motion interdimensional yes. alien beast. Scared the holy hell out of me. But then I watch now as an adult, I'm like, look at this goofy movie. But it's all about a time and place and, you know, all the time.
Time and place, 1974. The Exorcist.
Yes. Oh.
I was just joining the Army. I took 2 weeks before I went to the Army. My buddy and I went to Daytona. We were seeing it. The two of us drinking and carousing and having a great time.
Yeah.
We went to see The Exorcist
yeah.
in the theater.
Yes.
I had to laugh all the way through it because it scared me so bad.
Because of the nerves. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When we get back home now, my buddy went, at the time was 6'5" and 260 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And I was 6'1" and 180.
Yeah.
And we go back to the house. We're sleeping in different rooms.
Yeah.
I wake up the next morning. He's got the blue blanket that was on top of his... bed
yeah
in the front yard and he's got the Bible open up.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, I swear to Christ.
Oh my goodness, that's
and
awesome.
I just looked at me and says, I've never seen that movie.
It got him.
That's the time. Yeah, at the time it was. Nowadays you look at it and go, now, Linda Blair, what are you doing?
Yeah,
get out of there.
A little bit of it now. Yeah, I did rewatch when they did the re-release in 2000, the special edition stuff. I saw that in theaters. And it still has the mood and the atmosphere, but it is a slower movie. And, you know, and I was 18. I was in college at the time.
Max von Sydow and the Italian preacher, whatever his name is.
I can't remember the guy's name, yeah.
But I think they made the movie.
They're so
good. Special effects were great,
yeah.
But the two of them made the
movie. Well, the way they acted, the gravity of the situation, you could see it on their face. And, mm-hmm. and whenever they had to approach Linda Blair's room,
right.
it's like, yo, this is, there's some bad stuff happening behind that room. All the Pazuzu stuff, you
right.
know. Now, yes, as an adult, Exorcist to me is much more scary as an idea of what's going on in the movie as opposed to the actual what you're seeing.
Event Horizon was the last one that really scared the Jesus out of me.
That one.
That's what it is.
I saw in the theater with a lot of young, well, older women. And every time something jump out at you,
the whole place.
I jumped up, and these women are going, "Ah, you look at the
up, man. Just
that white boy be jumping up in the air.
That's so funny.
I'm just like, shut up, lady. No,
that movie straight up scared me in the theaters.
It's a tense movie.
Until the end, and then the end was just
it gets
silly.
A little goofy. But I'll still, on Netflix, if I see it on Netflix, I'll pop it on to watch the first hour, at least. Yeah, especially
if it's
nighttime.
Really creeped out.
Like, oh, this is some good stuff. Sam Neill, man.
Yeah, man.
Sam Neill, yeah, he's so good. That is so funny. The last movie I can think of that really gave me any sort of heebie-jeebies, I was maybe 19 or 20, and it was when 28 Days Later came out. The first one. The whole intro, the Dead City, they're not zombies, but the infected, they pop up, they start running after us. It was like grabbing the armrest on my chair. Like,
they're coming for you, Chris.
This is tense. And I also saw my brother, who was at the time maybe 13 or 14, and he was like freaking out. He was like, kind of like, I want to leave. I was like, no, we're sitting there watching this movie. He's like, so maybe that bled over a little bit too. I miss that though. I miss being a kid. When I was a kid, I didn't like scary movies that much because I didn't like being scared. Now as an adult, I wish a movie would scare me. I wish
I
could
like
be...
to see a dramatic movie turn into a scary movie.
Yeah.
You go there with the expectation of drama.
Yes.
And it turns into something that just blood-curdling.
Yes, it gets...
House on the Left back in the 60s or 70s was a terrifying movie.
That's still...
But it wasn't a horror movie in its genre.
Last House on the Left, no, that's down and dirty. That's a dirty movie.
The new one is...
It's more horror.
Yeah, it's more horror.
It's like, we're going to jump out at you.
But the first time, it was like, toward the end, you were going...
Yeah,
oh, what?
You're like, oh, what's going on?
What
with
did
this
she
thing?
Just do?
Yes.
Oh my! No.
It's like, where is this going? It's almost like Old Boy.
Yeah,
the first time you see Old Boy, you're getting through habit. It's like it's a revenge thriller.
Okay,
it's a bit of a mystery,
sure,
and then it takes a turn, and you're like, whoa, this is getting dark, and I guess you can say memorable.
Yes.
All right, there you go. Let's go back to the Vox Popeye segment of people. What we got over
there? All right, so you've probably done it already. We just did have a review of Howard the Duck. That's my favorite cheesy movie of all time.
And who said that one?
That is Jason J. Flow Presnell.
Oh, J. Flow. J. Flow's from the Burn It Down show out there in Brevard County. Shout out to those guys. J. Flow and Dabs? Dabs K? Dabs? I think I'm getting that right. A lot of podcasts in the Central Florida area. Yeah, works for Brett. Brett's good with that one. All right, Drew, go on.
And we got a question from Rocky Socha. Another
Rocky, another podcaster from the What's the Fuss podcast. I'll be on that show in a couple
AKA
weeks.
AKA Rocky and Bill Winkle Show.
The Rocky and Bill Winkle Show, a much better title.
Serious question.
Yes.
What's the better stoner comedy? Dazed and Confused, How High, or Half-Baked?
Okay, Dazed and Confused, Richard Linklater,
How High and Half-Baked... How High and Half-Baked I would definitely call, like, stoner comedies. It's, like, the plot almost relies on marijuana.
Yeah, I've seen Dazed and Confused pop up on a list of stoner movies a lot. And I kind of agree with you where it's not so much.
Well, no, it's more of a...
It's not like an Up in Smoke.
No, exactly. It's more of a coming-of-age movie that just happens to be set in a time when, you know, lots of kids smoke a lot of weed in the 70s. Yeah.
Well, Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
Well, of those three movies, Dazed and Confused, How High, and Half-Baked, which is the better movie?
The better stoner comedy.
I don't remember, dude.
Bro, I don't know. Dude, where's my memory of these movies,
A,
man?
A, B, or three?
You know, if I'm going to go with the three, Dazed and Confused is just the better movie of all three of them. I like all three of those movies, too. But Dazed and Confused is a classic. It's hard for someone to make a movie that's just about people hanging out.
Oh no, the best movie for that was La La Land, man.
La La Land.
Okay, I'm off.
No, you got them mixed up, bro. Cheech and Chong's La La Land, man.
Ooh, that would be
that's actually a pretty good title. Yeah, yeah. I'll see Cheech and Chong's La La Land.
So, actually, I'll give musicals another shot. Why not?
In that case, yeah. Especially if they hand out the doobies in the theater.
Oh, of course.
I just call it a doobie. What is this, 1965?
Seriously, who are you?
What is this, Back to the Future? I would say Dazed and Confused. What do you say, Drew?
What are you talking about?
I mean, seriously, in all reality, I mean, if we're going for the best stoner comedy, I mean, technically, I don't think Dazed and Confused is a stoner comedy, so I'm going to go with probably How High.
Okay, How High. Do you have an opinion of those three? Which one do you like the best?
Absolutely not. Thanks for playing.
All right, you're here
all
go.
Week. Thanks for the turkey.
Thank you, Brad. Well, there we go. And thanks, Rocky, for the question. We appreciate it. What else you got, Drew?
I got an email from Ernest Ward.
What's up, Ernest?
He says, I want to become an action movie figure. I need school information.
Well, you get the right clothes and the paint job on your face.
That helps.
Action movie figure.
Do a Mad Max paint job. Action movie figure? Maybe he's one of our international listeners.
Grow fangs out of your hands and grow sideburns.
Well, I mean, if you want to be an action movie star, I did a little bit of research, guys. There is an action movie film school.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't, Drew. Yes, there is. Tell us about action movie film school.
Oh, man, I got to find it again.
Oh, Drew, he had it, but then he lost it. I was going to say start doing stunt work.
Stunt work would probably be a good place to do.
Yeah, like our friend Lex here, our mutual friend. Yeah.
The Action Film Academy.
Action Film Academy.
Burr
Reynolds, yeah.
Oh, man, no. By Michael DePasquale Jr.
DePasquale?
Yes.
Okay.
It looks awful.
The school does?
Yeah.
He already made that judgment call.
Well, I mean...
Two seconds on their website.
I watched the YouTube video, and it's just a bunch of people in what looks like a hotel...
like a conference room?
Conference room?
Well, actually, no, there is a school. There used to be a school out here who's a famous stuntman that he had a stunt school out here.
Really?
And you could go there and learn and train.
Vic Armstrong?
No.
He's really...
Burt Reynolds, Smoking the Bandit movies.
Oh, Burt's stuntman.
Yeah, Dan, but...
I don't know the guy.
I won't think of his name. I really won't think of his name. But no. they might still have it out here in Orlando.
No way.
Would actually put you through the high falls and running through in the fight scenes. And
that sounds awesome.
Yes.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
And if you want to be an action figure star, you need to, first of all, be in great shape.
Yeah.
Second, I'd say learn gymnastics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
100%.
5.5, the Australian judge says.
Forget it, Mike. 100%. Tom Holland, the youngster who just got Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Our new Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason he got the role, he knows gymnastics.
There we go.
He can already flippy-flop crazy with the best of them, even without the CG and the wires. So they can already improvise. Get in shape, learn gymnastics. Brett's got all the answers.
Yeah, betcha.
I appreciate that. Anything else in the Vox Populi?
That's all, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. That already brings us to the end of the show, which means it's time for the lightning round.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, Brett, I have 10 questions.
Okay. It's late.
And I need you... that's number one. Okay. I need you to give me answers as quickly as we can, and we're going to learn a little bit about you, okay?
Oh, dear God.
Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, what is your favorite ice cream flavor?
Vanilla.
Number two, I love vanilla too. Number two, where are the Men in Black?
In Georgia.
Number three, can you juggle?
Yes.
Number four, if you could live in any time period, when would that be?
40s.
Oh, 1940s?
1940s.
Oh, just checking.
2040? Maybe. I'd like to.
2040 would be interesting. 1840s, no. Number five, what is the longest you've gone without sleep?
2.5 days.
Wow. Number six, have you ever tie-dyed your own clothes?
Once.
Number seven, how do you like your coffee?
Espresso cappuccino.
All right. Number eight, cruises. Yay or nay?
Yes.
Number nine, have you ever baked your own cake?
Yes.
Number 10, what is your favorite curse word?
Forget about it.
Hey, there we go. I saw one from James Lipton. Brett, at the end of every show, we have swag bags. All our guests get to go home with the prize. So you have the brown bag, the purple bag, the blue bag. Go ahead and choose one, and then Drew will tell you what's inside.
My wife loves purple, so we'll take the purple bag.
Purple bag. Drew, go ahead. Break that bag out and let Brett know what you may get to go home with today.
Mr. Royce, you may get to go home with a Battle Force disc launcher. Fling them. There are three discs, and it's camouflage, so you might lose it. Watch out.
You might lose it, and your cats are going to love it.
We've got Scanning Race, Hot Wheels, Chill Mill, Fresh Milk Truck.
Oh, gotcha. I got
it. It's Hot Pink.
Hot Wheels, Hot Pink. Okay, come on,
guys. A Hot Pink Milk Truck Hot Wheels car.
Oh, we've got some Imperial Super Miracle Bubbles.
Again.
Bubbles.
Again for the cats.
A whole bunch of Cinema Crespo Diso stickers.
All right, so far it looks like you might have a cat bag or bread. We put the bag away. You don't take that stuff home. And instead, you take what Drewster Cogburn has in the box right over here.
Who's in the box?
That's right. Decisions, Brett.
Exactly.
Decisions.
Hey, I like that song from what's his name? What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Cock in the box.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
single holiday.
It's up to you, sir. You can take home that bag of stuff. You know what's in there. Or the mystery of what's in the box. Mm-hmm. Tell you right now, there's no holes in the box. There's no animals.
So
no animals.
If there is an animal, it's dead.
I still like the purple. I still like the purple. The bubbles.
You like the purple? Go with the bubbles? We're going with the bag. Go with the bag. Give him the bag.
All right. Thank you very much.
There you go. All right. Hey.
My wife's going to love me.
It's always good to come home with stuff.
Yes,
shoot my
cats.
They're going to love those bubbles. They're going to love that.
What was in the box?
We'll show you afterwards. Okay, great. We'll show you afterwards. Brett, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure, man. It was very cool meeting you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks. And listen, you got to watch for Longmire this next coming season.
Longmire?
And Transparent on Amazon Prime.
That's right. You're on Transparent as well. Yes. You're a pastor on that show, right?
That's correct.
I've got the Amazon Prime.
You got the Amazon Prime? Check out Transparent. Everyone check out Longmire in 2017, as well as Netflix, and keep an eye out for A Case for Christ.
Case for Christ.
Case for Christ. Thank you so much, Brett. Drew, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Remember, to read more books, break up the big banks, stick your money in your mattresses, because that's where it belongs, and be excellent to each other. Free Will Meet Abu Jamal. We'll be back next week with probably a special edition of the show. I won't say what, but here we go.